Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, as we continue to have a series of messages from the book of Matthew. Title of our message today is, Whom Do Men Say That I Am? And if you're able, let us stand the book of Matthew chapter 16. We'll be beginning reading at verse 1 down through verse 4. Matthew 16, beginning at verse 1. And the Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is even, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Dear Heavenly Father, help us that are believers to remain faithful until you call us home. Help us, Lord, to stay the course. Help us, Lord, to stand true in the battle. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. How many of you realize that Jesus Christ would not be a welcomed guest speaker in the average church today? Number one, he believes in creation, a divine creation, and the flood recorded for us in the book of Genesis. How sad when a church will try to combine evolution and the gospel together. He believed in and preached that there is a literal hell where the lost will be in torment. He believed that there is but one way to be accepted into heaven, contrary to bumper stickers and Hallmark TV programs, there is but one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. He was not afraid to call men and women sinners, hypocrites, whited sepulchers, etc. He believed that men and women are sinners and need to repent, and he preached it repeatedly. He did not believe that one's environment allowed them to continue in sin until they came to grips with it or had been in counseling for weeks or months or decades. In other words, he was not afraid to get in your face and tell it like it is. Unlike your pastor, who knows if he tells it like it is, some would leave and find a church that wouldn't offend them. Too many churches today have diluted the gospel. They've watered it down. They want to make everybody feel comfortable. Jesus Christ was not worried about making you feel comfortable. He wanted you to be right with God. He wanted you to live spiritually in a right and proper manner. And like I said, many times today's churches would not allow him even to get up and to speak. Let's begin reading at verse 13. From where we get our sermon title today. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In verse 13, we find that Jesus, for whatever reason, has taken his disciples to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. It is about 120 miles north of Jerusalem. Now, may I say this, 120 miles in today's world is not all that far. But in his day, where they didn't have cars or mass transit, where they would either walk it or ride a beast, 120 miles is a long way. I don't know if you'd like to walk 120 miles in the next couple of days, but I'm not sure I would. This region was strongly religious. And may I say, we have lots of religion in our world today. Tons of religion. Everything from serving the Lord as properly should be to serving Satan. We've got plenty of religion. It had been a center for Baal worship. The Greek god Pan had shrines. Herod the Great had built a temple there to honor Caesar Augustus. Warren Wiersbe writes, It was in the midst of this pagan superstition that Peter confessed Jesus as the Son of God. And probably within sight of Caesar's temple that Jesus announced a surprise. He would not yet establish his kingdom, but he would build his church, unquote. His church. But may I say this to you today? The church is important to our Lord. May I say this, that Christ did not die for Christian bookstores or Christian radio stations. Now, they're good to have, but he died for the church. He didn't die for the public school programs. He didn't die for governments. He died so that he could establish the church. He could establish those who are going to accept him as Savior. He came to establish this church, of which we are glad to be a church that reads the Word of God, promotes the Word of God. Do you know there are churches that will use half a verse, and that's all they have? Some hardly use any scriptures whatsoever. And they're more interested in making you feel good than making you realize that you may need to repent. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They answer him, John the Baptist. Now, we know that John the Baptist had been beheaded. He had preached against the sin of Herod, and he had been imprisoned, and then his head had been removed. And some thought he'd come back. Some believed he was Isaiah or the Old Testament prophet Elijah. But Jesus did not minister as Elijah. It was John the Baptist that came in the spirit and power of Elias. Some said Jeremias or Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet whose tender heart was broken at the sight of the decay of the nation. And certainly this attitude was seen in Christ. He was the man of sorrow. I wonder what he would think of the United States of America today spiritually. Do you think that we are found wanting? We call ourselves rich and we're increased with goods, and yet we don't realize that we're blind and naked and in need. Or one of the prophets, one of the other prophets that had lived in Old Testament days. In verse 15, he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Folks, that's the question of the ages. What do you think of Jesus Christ? Was he a liar? Was he a lunatic? He said he was God. How many people are in insane asylums that say they're God? Many. Was he a liar? A lunatic? Was he Lord? Was he the Lord of the universe? Was he our Creator God? Who is Jesus Christ? Who do you think he is? Many people today don't want anything to do with him. Freedom from religion, they say. That's fine. It's their choice. Though they're trying to push you out. But the fact of the matter is, if someone came to you in the next couple of days in your neighborhood or at work or in your family and said to you, what does Jesus mean to you? Would you be embarrassed? Would you say, well, that's really none of your business? There are people who say that. I mean, I've been out knocking doors, door by door, and come across and ask people if they went to church, and they said, why? Well, I said, I want to invite you to our church. What's none of your business? And then I'll try to say something as the door is being closed. You know, I'm always want to put my foot in the door, but I'm afraid that I might pull back a few less toes. And then I ask him, if possible, well, what does Jesus mean to you? Or do you know Christ as your Savior? You know, if someone says to you, do you know Christ as your Savior? You should be willing to say yes. Amen. That you do know Christ as your Savior. That you love the Lord. Who is he to you? Is he your friend? Is he one that you are wanting to share? It's important. In our society today, we are having a lot of things shoved down our throats. But the fact of the matter is, they're not the only ones who can be shoving. Right? We can stand up for what is the Word of God. We shouldn't be afraid. The fact of the matter is, we need to stand up for the Lord. Whom do you say that I am? Whom do you say? As we move along, we find there in verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Peter answered. Did they all believe this? Well, we know that one didn't. We know that one would sell out the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. We know that many stopped following Christ when he began to tell them that he was going to have to die. And many said, I don't want to go down that road. Do you believe that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that he is God himself? That God came to die to sacrifice himself? How strong is our faith today? My wife and I went to something our granddaughters were in the other day, and it was over in Highland at what was the Heartland High School. I guess they have moved somewhere else, and now that is now a multi-purpose building for all kinds of activities. And we were ahead of schedule, and so we stopped at Bed Bath and Beyond. I'd ask my wife, what do you want for Christmas? And she named something that I had never heard of. And so we went into Bed Bath and Beyond, and I asked for a coupon at the manager station or the customer service place. You know, they mail them out by the gazillions, right? I mean, it's like every week you get two or three or seven. Okay, and we did not have one. And I'll be honest with you, I guess I should keep one in my wallet at all times. I had been at one of those stores, the one right over here, and I went to buy something, and the woman in front of me pulled out about six of them. And she handed one to the cashier, and I asked the woman, can I have one? And she said, no. It wasn't like I asked her for money. So anyways, Don and I are over on M59, and we're over there stopping at the Bed Bath & Beyond, and we went in to ask for this. And you know what the man said? He said, we mail them out, you bring them in. I was ready to leave. I figured, hey, you know, if you mail out 100,000 of them and I just happen to ask for one, don't you think that'd be like someone coming into church and we say, well, you can't come. You know, we sent you an invitation, but, you know, you can't come. Well, isn't that what he was saying to me? Am I wrong? Should he have said, hey, I got seven of them back here. Ask me if we bought something. We didn't buy anything. You know why we didn't buy anything? Because they wouldn't give us a coupon. You'll give me one? We've got 25 of them at home. Probably half of them are expired. In my opinion, he wasn't really trying to get us to buy something. But folks, may I say this? Christ doesn't accept coupons. He paid full price. He paid full price. We sang the song, Jesus Paid It All. You know why we sing, Jesus Paid It All? Because Jesus paid it all. He paid it, that unspeakable gift. He paid for it. Thank you. Thank you. Peter got it right. Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And we note that Jesus did not deny the claim that he is the Son of the living God. Verse 17 tells us, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But then let's read verse 18. As one notices as they read it that there is a word play here, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, Petros, a stone. And upon this rock, Petra, large rock. And upon this rock I will build whose church? Paul Madonna's church? Whose church? His church. The book of Ephesians says that he died for the church, that he loves the church. It's precious to him. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Wiersbe writes, these Jewish men steeped in Old Testament scripture recognize the rock as a symbol of God. Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock. His work is perfect. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. Psalm 18:31, and who is God? For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Some have tried to say that the Lord built the church on Peter. May I say this? I don't want a church built on a human being. I want a church that's built on our Lord. That he is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. The psalmist declared in Psalm 118:22, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. The prophet Isaiah wrote, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Peter said to the Sanhedrin that Jesus is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. He is our foundation. If we try to build our spiritual lives on other things than our Lord, then it will fall. It will fall. The church. This is the first occurrence of this important word in the New Testament. It is the Greek word ekklesia, from which we get our English word ecclesiastical. Ecclesiastical, referring to those things pertaining to the church. Ecclesia, it literally means a called out assembly. It's used 114 times in the New Testament, about 90 of them referring to the church. Let's read it once again and we'll stop to emphasize one phrase. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hell, we know, is the final destiny of all unsaved people. Hell, or Hades, is the realm of the dead. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. But I'm glad that verse doesn't end there. But the wages of sin is death. Adam sinned, and he brought separation between him and his creator God. Are you a sinner? Every one of you? Is Dan Jones a sinner? His wife is shaking her head, yes. Yes. Oh, for yourself. Oh, that you're a sinner too. Okay, well, I didn't want to pick on you. Okay. Should I pick on someone over here? How about Rudy? Is he a sinner? Even though he makes that kielbasa stuff for our potlucks? Are you a sinner, Rudy? Yes. How about my dad? Be careful now. Is my dad a sinner? Founder of this church? Come on. Is he a sinner? Yeah. Sorry, Dad. How about Pastor Stephen? Is he a sinner? As nice as he is. Yes. Okay. Now you answer this question carefully. Am I a sinner?
Yes.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate that confidence. We're all sinners, right? We deserve hell. Sin separates us from God. You ever get a splinter in your finger, your thumb, your foot? Yes. Don't you hate splinters? What do you do? Do you just leave it there? What do? You get it out, right? Get it out. Sin separates us between us and our Lord. The Lord pulls out that splinter. He pulls out that wedge. He makes it so that there is not a separation. If we come to Him and we acknowledge that we're sinners and that we need a Savior, He will save our souls.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful that He's willing to do that. And I'm glad that at an early age that I realized that I was a lost sinner and that I needed a Savior. And that one had been provided. Because we can't save ourselves. I don't care how good you think you are. You're only good in comparison to me. Right? And when you compare yourself to me, you might be better than me, but it's not good enough to get you into heaven. Because if you compare yourself with a divine God, we are all falling short. And I am so glad that we have one who saw our need and took care of that need. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the what? Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift. Now you say, Pastor Paul, are you going to get that thing for Donna? I'm going to get me a coupon. I'm going to get her a gift, even if I have to go to Kohl's to get it. Let's stand together, if you would, please. But whom say ye that I am? May I say this, he is the Savior of the world. But you have to accept the gift. You have to say, yes, Lord. You have to make that decision. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask as we have this invitation that the Holy Spirit would move and touch hearts, convicting as conviction is needed. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.